Good evening. I'm Elizabeth Cook.
And I'm Ryan Yamamoto. City leaders are celebrating tonight, but as KPXY's Max Darrow tells us, keeping the A's in Oakland is far from a done deal.
Today was a make-or-break moment in the potential for keeping the A's in Oakland, but after a key state agency vote, the potential for an Oakland A's ballpark at the Howard Terminal remains alive. After a 23-2 vote, the San Francisco Bay Conservation and Development Commission, or BCDC, voted to remove the Howard Terminal's port use designation. What does that mean? The area can be used for other purposes, such as a stadium or mixed-use development. But does it mean the A's have a green light to build there? Well, not just yet. This was truly a procedural vote that keeps the door open for a ballpark to be constructed at the Howard Terminal. It wasn't an endorsement from the BCDC that the A's belong at the Howard Terminal. However, today's vote does keep the door open for the A's to have a future in Oakland. I just spoke with the A's president, Dave Cavill, about the significance of today's vote.
Well, it was a do or die vote. If we would have lost, it would have been over and our efforts in Oakland would have been extinguished. So to get such a positive 23-2 yes vote to move to the next phase and give us a chance at the final approval this year is just a great accomplishment.
Cavill says this is the closest they've been to getting a new ballpark built here in Oakland. Now, with this hurdle cleared, the Oakland City Council is back up to bat. They'll have to vote on the community benefits and development agreement. Earlier this afternoon, we heard from Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf. Here's what she had to say.
I'm ecstatic. 23-2 in favor of releasing Howard Terminal from port priority use and making it available for one of the most transformative projects Oakland will ever see.
This isn't a done deal just yet. One of the commissioners with the BCDC gave a great analogy during the vote, basically saying that today's vote allows the A's stadium hopes to move to second base, but there are still more hurdles they'll have to clear to get to third and to make it all the way home where they could start building a new ballpark. In Oakland, Max Darrow, KPIX 5.
Many of us may be getting ready to hit the road for this 4th of July holiday weekend. AAA estimates almost 48 million Americans will drive or fly more than 50 miles from home between now and Monday. And today and tomorrow are the peak days for driving. And if you are flying to your destinations, be prepared for big crowds and potential delays. The TSA reports the number of people passing through security checkpoints just hit a pandemic-era high. SFO expects about 68,000 flyers to come through today and tomorrow. Last week, there were more than 2,000 canceled flights at airports across the country, mostly due to weather and staffing issues. And experts warn that could be the case this weekend, too.
It's going to be tough. So we've had pretty poor operations from the airlines this whole summer so far, but now you're at a holiday weekend.
Delta Airlines is letting you change your tickets for free this weekend, knowing that delays and cancellations are possible.
And just in time for the holiday weekend, California's gas tax will go up tomorrow. It's currently sitting around 51 cents per gallon. It's going up another 3 cents. It comes after state lawmakers failed to reach a deal to suspend the tax increase. Republicans argue a suspension would benefit taxpayers faster than the rebate check. But Democrats argue the big oil companies would not pass those savings on to drivers. And starting tomorrow, BART fares will also go up about 15 cents. BART says that increase will go toward operating budgets, more security, new train cars. And the toll across the Golden Gate Bridge is also going up tomorrow from $9.05 to $9.40. Fast track will cost you about $8.40 and the carpool goes up to $6.40.
A man died today after the boat he was driving crashed into a sailboat near Angel Island. That collision caused the driver of this motorboat to be thrown into the San Francisco Bay. The people on the sailboat pulled him out and the Coast Guard took him to the hospital in Tiburon, but he later died from his injuries. No one else was hurt. And after some wrangling, crews did manage to stop that spinning boat and it's now tied up at the Tiburon Pier.
San Jose police have arrested four suspects in connection with a string of violent home invasions. Here's a look at those suspects. They are Armando Manzano, Daniel Mendez, Eduardo Santiago, and police also arrested a minor. One of those invasions all caught on dash cam. A victim's wife came home last month to find the suspects holding her husband and their child at gunpoint. The footage shows them fleeing the home.
We're dealing with suspects who shouldn't be out on our streets. And these suspects need to be held accountable for these serious crimes they are committed. They need to remain in custody.
Police believe the suspects may be involved in numerous other burglaries and violent crimes in recent months.
The California Assembly passed a bill today that could help pave the way for some Bay Area cities to open safe consumption sites. Passed by a vote of 42 to 28, SB 57 will allow San Francisco, Oakland, and LA to approve organizations to operate overdose prevention programs. This would let people use drugs under the supervision of trained staff. The end goal is to transition users into recovery programs.
To our Fire Watch now, seven firefighters have suffered heat-related injuries battling the Rices Fire in Nevada County. So far, it's burned around 904 acres, about 12% contained. That fire started around 2 p.m. on Tuesday near Rices Crossing Road. That's just east of the Yuba River. It started out as a structure fire and has since burned vegetation, trees, and other structures, including a home. Evacuation orders are still in place.
Let's go back to that breaking news we've been following out of Vallejo. Crews in Vallejo have a large commercial fire at C&G towing under control. That fire broke out along Broadway and Sharon Street near a mobile home park and an Ace Hardware store. Chopper 5 over the scene there shows lots of smoke rising for what appears to be a yard filled with cars. The Vallejo Fire Department is warning drivers to avoid that area.
An historic moment today for the United States' Ketanji Brown Jackson, sworn into the Supreme Court, becoming the first black woman to serve on the nation's highest court. Her husband held the Bible as Chief Justice John Roberts administered the oath. Justice Jackson replaces Justice Stephen Breyer, whose retirement took effect at noon. Jackson is a former federal public defender who spent nearly a decade on lower U.S. courts. She was confirmed to the Supreme Court by the Senate in April by a vote of 53 to 47. And the impact of this historic event is already being felt.
I'm proud. I'm elated and quite honestly, pretty emotional. It was a lot to get to this point. I would not have been a thought or a possibility. You know, when I was nine, the injustices and the lack of representation were even more stark.
I think it is just immeasurable. And certainly to little girls, little black girls, but everybody actually, because that is a representation that we have not seen.
During her confirmation hearing, Jackson said she would be fair and impartial when it comes to deciding the law.
Before the swearing-in ceremony, the Supreme Court ended its term with a major blow in the fight against climate change. In a 6-3 vote, the High Court limited the Federal Environmental Protection Agency's ability to regulate carbon emission from power plants. The ruling is not expected to have a major impact here in California, but it is viewed as a setback in the national effort to cut down on harmful greenhouse gases.
It strengthens the hand of Governor Newsom to do what California thinks it needs to do to deal with its specific environmental issues. And so for that reason, at the state level, it's great for Democrats, but at the national level, I'm sure liberals and progressives are discouraged by that regulation turnback.
Governor Newsom issued this statement about the ruling. It reads in part, "Today's ruling makes it even more imperative that California and other states succeed in our efforts to combat the climate crisis. While the court has once again turned back the clock, California refuses to go backward. We are just getting started." It appears that California is living up to that promise. State lawmakers passed the nation's most sweeping bill to phase out single-use plastics. It requires 30% of plastic items to be sold or imported into the state and then recyclable by 2028. Then by 2032, that number rises to 65%. It also calls for a 25% reduction in single-use plastics in the next 10 years. And in the next 3 years, a 25% reduction in a particular item, or it will be banned altogether. Governor Newsom still has to sign that bill.
Sonny Barger, the founder of the Hells Angels Oakland Charter, has died at the age of 83 years old. On a pre-written Facebook post, Barger said after a brief battle with cancer, he died peacefully in his sleep, surrounded by loved ones. He became the public face of the notorious motorcycle club, having numerous federal charges and run-ins with the law. He served 13 years behind bars in various prisons. Later, he wrote about his life and the Hells Angels, even consulting on the FX show Sons of Anarchy.
The Marin County Fair made its long-awaited return today. Lots of people in line this afternoon, eager to get on the rides. Some children gravitated towards the carnival games. This is the first in-person fair since the pandemic started. The fair will be in San Rafael now until July 4th.
Now at 7, USC and UCLA are planning to leave the Pac-12 for the Big Ten Conference. The stunning, stunning move would deliver serious implications for Cal and Stanford sports.
Yeah, those two Bay Area schools have a long history with their LA counterparts, dating back to more than 100 years. USC and UCLA could leave the Big Ten as early as 2024 when their contract with the Pac-12 expires.
I mean, big news, especially for our fellow Trojan here.
Yeah, it's a little strange to think of my weekender being in Chicago or being in Nebraska. this is pretty shocking.
Yeah, a lot of questions still to be answered on
this. Not good for the Pac-12, though.
Definitely
right.
Not.
Well, thank you. See you at 11. I'm still speechless.